We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Friendos and friendos alike, welcome in. It is the In This League show on Sports Grid. I almost did the thing where I was going to do the podcast, but I didn't do the thing. It's the show, the radio version of In This League that you can catch over on Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego.
Bogman got to hear...
I've cracked up Bogman a couple times this week, and I would tell everybody it's an accomplishment. Like, Bogman knows, like, you know, he's always going to make me laugh on levels. And then there's times where he really gets me, and that's always really enjoyable when we really get each other. I've got Bogman a couple times. I got him with a tweet that was just an inside joke. But before we started up the show, I got Bogman good, and maybe Bogman can relive the story, because I got a call and I said, "Hey, Boggs, hold on. I got to see what this call is." And I picked up the phone and I'm like, hello. And it's a car guy, because I just recently purchased a new car. So every dealership in the Valley that I've been to has to call and check in. And Bogman, why don't you repeat or relive what happened on the call?
It's a very quick exchange. You know, I mean, you would just, the guy was like, "Hey, just looking to see if you're looking for a car still, whatever, blah, blah, blah." And you said, "Hey, you know, I really appreciate you reaching back out, but I did just finalize my new car deal about 10 days ago. So I'm all set." And then he's like, "All right, man. Well, I just wanted to cross you off the list." And you did. "Okay, thanks. Bye-bye."
click.
It was David Spade from the mid 90s. "Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye."
But it's 100%. It came out of nowhere, because I was like, "All right, thanks so much, man."
Yeah, I didn't even think you realized you did it. I think that's what made me laugh so hard, was like, David Spade is just ingrained in us from that era, and you were just, "Okay, bye-bye."
I went, "Bye-bye." But I did, as I was saying it, I realized what was about to happen. So I laid in a little bit, because if I'm going to do it on the phone call, I might as well go all in for the joke, because you're listening. So I'm like, "All right, appreciate it, man."
If that guy's our age, when you hung up, he went, did that guy just David Spade me? Like, that's exactly what happened on the other end. I mean, if he's 24, then he's like, oh, that guy was weird.
What an a-hole. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking a little baseball, a little basketball, and a whole bunch of football. We've got our picks. We've got our DFS. We've got Thursday night football. So don't go anywhere. More in this league. Coming back.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090, and of course over at InThisLeague.com. Come and check us out. Sign up. Hang out. Live streams Thursday night with Bogman. It's a whole live stream where you can hang out with Boggs during those awesome Thursday night games. You guys can come and check out all the ranks we got. We've got comedy secret shows, which we have got to get one here soon. We got tons and tons of stuff. If you want to be a part of our little audio universe and you want to support your boys, come and check it out in thisleague.com. Dude, someone, little perk we do on Patreon is when we do this show, we let some people sit in a live room with us. We'll do a couple hours of this live. They can see the video feed of this radio show. And it's just, it's a specific perk for the highest level of our listeners. And one of our boys, Werkheiser, just brought this up because I just saw this yesterday. He was like, did you guys hear about the Houston hosts fighting? And Bogman, you had mentioned it to me and you were trying to kind of relive it. And I just wasn't connecting. Because you're like, oh my God, it's so funny. This guy keeps going, Bia. And we don't have to say the word because we are on the radio now. But you were trying to like, you know, play it out for me. It just didn't really hit home. And then I watched the video. And it is, it's amazing. These two monsters on, it's like, I don't know, 97.5
ESPN. Yeah. It's on a Houston local ESPN affiliate. You know what I mean? So, but one of the guys was
like the Schwam, by the way, that guy looks
oh
like,
oh my God, that's exactly what he looks like. He looks like the Schwami. Yeah.
Just, like he's just, he won't get out of his chair and he's just like, and he's calling the other guy a child, but he is acting like a child. It's amazing. It's really incredible.
He's like, well, come on, dude, you make fun of people for that because he suggested that the Rockets trade Harden or something. Off season. So the guy starts throwing just this hissy fit and he just starts panicking and screaming at the other dude. And he's like, well, come on, man, you make fun of people for doing stuff, stupid stuff like that. And here you are, you know, making a dumb trade thing and blah, 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 blah. And this guy is just getting so mad. And the other guy is just sitting there like, what are you doing? Like, well, why are you freaking out and panicking like this?
That guy, the guy who's, because there's the big Schwami fat guy, and then there's the other guy who's, you know, he's not a spring chicken himself, and but the whatever the host Schwami guy, he won't let it go. And like the point on radio is like, you can have radio fights are great sometimes, but you gotta like move through it or also be able to turn it so it's funny. And it wasn't. And this guy, the other guy's like, just get on with the show. Get on with the show. And this guy would not let it go. So finally, the other guy just loses it, gets up, and he's like, fine, I'm leaving. Pulls his mic cover off, which was the funniest part to me. Was he was just like, boom, pulled off the mic cover and walks out. Like, you know, that's like the mic.
Oh, you showed him. Yeah, exactly.
And they just start screaming. So it's just,
We live on the radio. This is the worst radio I've ever done in my life. It was so funny, dude. He kept saying radio instead of radio. I was laughing so hard. And I was like, I did, like, you know, because we're not live on the radio all the time, the Welsh, but I start to kind of, did he feel a little panicky for them both? You're like, oh God, all of this. This should not be this thing.
No, it was too much. The Schwami guy was the problem, because the Schwami guy was pissed because he's like, oh, you check. He's telling the other guy he checked out because he got called out. And then the dude's like, I was just checking stats, but also whatever if he checks out. This guy then turned two segments of radio into garbage by not letting it go. And it was so awkward where I was like, something needs to happen. Like, this other guy needs to freak out, or the Schwami guy needs to have a submarine sandwich. Like, they need to stop it. And it's really good, awkward radio. And there's video to it. Unfortunately, it ended right as the other guy started screaming. The guy gets up and he starts, like, you know,
they cut the mic. Yeah. It looked like the other guy wanted to hit the Schwami. So it was weird and awkward, but I mean, that's life in Houston right now, obviously. So people are not very happy with the Rockets.
But why? But I mean, aren't they also happy that D'Antoni is leaving?
I mean, I don't know that everyone is. So I am.
Do the Sixers want him?
Yeah. And great. You just go away. I've never liked Mike D'Antoni, and you know that we live in the Valley here in Phoenix, and you know, the Mike D'Antoni coached the Suns forever. He always coached them almost to the finals. Never quite there.
He's one of the nicest guys. Yeah, him and Vinny Del Negro are like really, really nice basketball guys. I've been around them, and it's
right. Like, right. And he seems like the nicest guy ever, dude. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything about his personality or the way he is as a person. And obviously that's way more important than how you are as a coach or at your job.
Wouldn't it be better to argue about D'Antoni than James Harden? Like, stupid argument. Like, but like also to get so mad about, I don't know, but that's also like,
Why are you getting that mad at someone else's suggestion or opinion?
The waterhead stuff. But that's the same thing that we see with like people, you know, like that they can't separate, like, and no offense, but like we see it sometimes specifically with Cowboy fans, where Cowboy fans can't compartmentalize. So if you were to be like, yeah, you know what this team really needs to do? They need to not sign Dak Prescott. Cowboy fans would probably do the same thing. Not all of them. There are very many rational people. But I'm saying, when you elicit, Yankee fans do this. I'm not trying to pick on it. It was just the first thing I thought.
Well, it's the, Cowboys it's fans, the loudest Yankees fans, group. Laker fans. Yeah.
Cubs
it's
fans.
It's the most popular teams. Yeah. That and of course, Dallas is America's team. They're still the most popular team in the world. So that's the first team you gravitate to, because, you know, the more fans you have, the more dumb fans you have. It's just the way the math works. But you know also, what I mean?
It's not even necessarily so much.
Sometimes you have really stupid fans that'll say things like depression doesn't matter when you're the quarterback of the Cowboys. Dumb fans might say that. So
yeah, okay, but you don't even mark that as a fan. Those are idiot, stupid people like Skip Bayless specifically, who are on the air saying moron things. But like every fan base has complete morons.
Oh,
like, I don't know if you saw, perfect example of it was on Thursday Night Football. We are there's like 30 people have been allowed to see sports in 2020, and there was already a fight. Did you see it in the Browns Bengals?
No, I didn't see
that. Were allowed in. There was already a fight in a pandemic of these complete idiots that aren't supposed to be near each other getting in a fight. Every fan base has dummies and has fans, but it's more in our face specifically when you're dealing with the high. That's why I kind of went to the Cowboys, because there are so many Cowboys fans, because it's American team. Yankees are same way. And when you suggest something off the wall a little bit, they get mad. And it, like, there's not enough Bengal fans to get pissed off about the idea of them not signing Joe Mixon. But if you would be like, I should move on from Dak Prescott, people can't rationally be like, nah, I don't think so. You know, he's a good quarterback. They'll just be like, and the same thing just happened with the Rockets for whatever reason, because James Harden is so ingrained.
I love James Harden, but is that the craziest suggestion ever, to trade James Harden? I mean, he's been the leader of the team now for a while. It hasn't worked. So
I'm kind of like the leader.
Hi, my name's James. I'm kind of like the leader in here. And I just want to tell you guys, we're going to play a lot of offense, shoot a lot of threes, zero defense. Okay. What? No defense at all.
Like, this is what I would put this out. This is not the same thing, because James Harden is so ingrained into, I think, the Houston Rockets culture.
You're about to insult me. I can feel
it. No. Not at all. Actually, it's not going to be one bit whatsoever. But I think, like, in the top, you know, five Rockets of all time, James Harden is in there. So you know, that involves in there. But what I'm getting at, and this is why this doesn't compare, but if D'Antoni were to go to Philly, Ben Simmons is not the type of point guard he would want, not the type of ball handler that a Mike D'Antoni team would run. I would imagine he would want to move on from Ben Simmons and trade him. And like, Philly's fans would probably be pretty pissed because Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they are the existence of the trust the process.
Yeah.
So that would, Philly fans would kind of get mad, but they also would probably just like, you know, move on from their lives. They'd throw batteries at Santa or get mad at Carson Wentz or something like that. They'll get on with it. But it's specifically, it's usually a certain type of fan base that saves themselves from losing it when someone just suggests something that they don't agree with. But the big fan bases, you know, it's usually not a Rockets thing. Like I said, it would be those big teams we kind of talk about that would lose their minds. But in this instance, you know, it was even better. It wasn't fans. It was just a couple,
fans, but guys on the radio, like, you know, you need to have just a little bit of semblance of professional when you're there. So I don't know what they, it was the weirdest thing ever. So I don't even know what to say about it.
No, it was. All right. Don't go anywhere. In this league coming back, a little tiny baseball. We got to talk about Thursday night football. Then of course we've got DFS. We've got all the picks, everything. So don't go anywhere. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Welcome back, friendos. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090. Thank you for listening as always. And you can find us on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh at Bogman Sports if you want to interact on the interwebs. If you want to interact on the interwebs,
don't always want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You know, people get football brings a lot out of people right now. You know, we were talking about some friends that might not even be texting after one little mistake of advice. You might, I'm like, hey, this person texts me. What do you think? What do you think when they text you? I'm never going to ask me something ever again because of one piece of advice. I'm like, oh, damn. All right. Well, I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you swing and miss the Welsh. So, and sometimes, who knows?
Yeah, you get some right, you get some wrong. Real quick, before we jump into baseball, or before we jump into football, the baseball season's coming to a close, and I was doing the latest Prospect One podcast, which if you guys want to check out, I suggest you do. Eric Longenhagen from Fangraphs joined me. We kind of talked about the minor league season, but you know, so I was doing the open. I was like, God dang, man, like we got a week left, and It doesn't feel like we've talked enough about like what's going on around baseball as a whole. And I don't know if people have followed. You've already got three clinched playoff spots. You've got the Dodgers, the White Sox, and the Rays. The Rays are the most fascinating team on the planet because, you know, if you had paid attention to baseball preseason and you say, give me the two NL West and two NL and two AL teams that you think are clinches, I think the White Sox and the Dodgers would 100% be on both sides of that. We thought the White Sox were going to be a monster and the Dodgers best team in the NL, and they're there. But then the Rays have already pigeonholed themselves a spot where they're locked into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rays have had a great season, you know, a short season, and they're still doing all their weird, Raysy stuff, you know, moving guys up and down the lineup. Sometimes they have openers, you know. Most of the time, they just roll with a regular starter, though. So, you know, the bullpen has been weird as well, but, you know, the Rays get it done. They get it done with the low payroll. They get it done almost every single year. It's nuts how good this team can be on a budget. So, it shows just the rest of the league that you can do that.
Yeah, and you know, also just across the board, I'm fascinated with some of the moves that baseball has made, because you've got one, they announced the other day the spring training schedules, which was wild. It was one of those things where, remember, they started like announcing the ticket packages before the season started for 2021, and they just announced all the spring training. I think to make people feel, obviously, to make them feel like, hey, there will be baseball again. They've also
start planning your trip. Yeah,
I guess they've also committed to their they've got an expanded playoff. You've got the playoff bubble, which is essentially just going to be in California and Texas.
Are you still feeling weird about that? Because the other day when we were talking on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast, I feel like you were just not into the bubble at all.
I don't know. I don't like it's not really a bubble. There's multiple spots and they're just like, I'm going to play these games here. Like if they had done one place, I think that would have been more interesting. I'm not really sure. Okay. I get the point. Like, what's the point of, all right, you're still going to have two full cities. Like you just don't want to have six.
I don't know. I think it's because there's been delays in the season and they just want to make 100% sure that, you know, they're not bumping playoff games, and they didn't give themselves a very big window to finish the playoffs either.
Well, and they're not giving days off, I think, in the first round. Like, there's no days off whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm not either way. Like, I'm not one of those that's like, you know what? This is un-American. Like, I don't care. Like, that's fine if you think that's – you're making a good point. Like, they've already shown a disconnect. And
you're telling me you believe in gray area in this country, the Welsh? There's none of that. It's either left, right, up, or down. There's no middle. What are you talking about?
I do believe there is a middle ground of sorts.
No.
I think they're fine if they want to do that. And I get the logic of it. I just figured like, two sites, really four, because I think they're technically going to go like San Diego, LA, Houston. And then where's the other one? Were they going to Dallas? Is that the three
places? Yeah. That's where they're going to play the World Series, is in Dallas.
Yeah. So you have four cities. So it's like, did you guys really like limit it? I'm not so sure you did, but it's fine. I'm not beholden to it, but that's
Another weird thing, the Welsh, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but they might let fans in the stadium for the World Series.
Yeah, I would.
So if you have, you know, the Yankees playing the Dodgers in Dallas, they might let Texas fans in, you know, but, you know, are people going to fly from the Yankee from New York and L.A. to go watch the game in Dallas? That's weird.
They probably will. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. They could mandate. Like, you got to be quarantined for 7 days, and I'm pretty sure there's people from New York that would fly out 10 days before to make sure they've locked themselves in. Like,
yeah,
I don't have that type of passion for anything in the world. I don't have the passion to
spend. I mean, I have the passion. I just don't have the money. So
think if they told you that, they said, all right, this is going to, you're going to have to pay the ticket, which will probably be thousands of dollars. You're going to have to quarantine for 7 days. You're talking five figures. If you just, let's say you made $200,000 a year. So five figures is not insignificant, but you could manage it. You're just like, I save up. I could drop 12 grand to do this. You would drop the 12 grand in 10 days of your life just to go see.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's not just the money you spend to get there and pay for the ticket and all that stuff. It's also the money you lose by not working during all that time.
I'd say maybe a vacation time and stuff like that, but I'm saying like you're flying, your hotels, the tickets. It's just, I don't have the type of passion to be like, yeah, I'm gonna just uproot my life for this like one thing, even though maybe it's so different and, you know, people will look back at it as a charming thing if that's where they went. But I think they would have to kind of open up the standards if they're gonna let anybody in the World Series, because if they say like, yeah, you know, we're going to let 2,000 people in, but if you're from out of Texas, you're going to have to quarantine. Then they're essentially saying, hey, 2,000 Texans get to go watch the World Series. So I don't think they'll have that type of, you know, that type of a standard. But I'm not surprised. Football is the, you know, it's the catalyst to showing sports how they're going to allow fans to come back, because they're doing it. And they're going to have to manage how fans fight, how they social distance, how they keep people away. And, you know, with football doing it, it's probably manageable. Even though I don't know if you saw a report, I think it was at
Kansas City.
Was it the Kansas City game that a fan tested positive for COVID, and then they somehow were able to track down the 10 people that were in relative distance to him? I don't even know how they're doing all of that right now.
I wonder if they make the fans wear like tracers, you know, or anything, like if they make them wear like one of those little watch.
That'd be so, those are like Apple Watches, essentially. That would be so expensive. There's no way.
It's the NFL, dude. I mean, they make billions of dollars a year.
They don't want to pay their minor leaguers to play any baseball this year. They're not going to give fans an Apple Watch to make sure that everyone's safe.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it might be, you know, it might be cheap if it's something, you know, real easy, and they have to turn them in at the end of the game. I'm not, you know, it's easier to track down a 10,000 wristwatch than if you filled up the entire stadium, obviously. So,
yeah,
you know, what would be the point if you did fill it up? You know,
one thing I want to do, because I know we got to talk a lot of football here. Of all the baseball stories this year, there's just so many crazy things that have happened. The rookie performances, the rookie pitchers have been really amazing. Dane Dunning, Tristan McKenzie, something I talk about with Longenhagen on Prospect One. Statistically, we've had a lot of players that have disappointed. You know, Christian Yelich is probably one of the biggest disappointments this year. We've had, you know, the upward trajectory of Fernando Tatis Jr. and some others, but I can't get over what Luke Voit has done in this small sample size of a season. Yeah. He hit his 20th homer on Thursday night. He is so far and beyond the big power hit leader. Just think of this for a second. We are going to be 60 games in a season, and he has already hit the 20 marker. I don't know how we are going to fathom, especially if we're talking fantasy baseball, moving into next year with a guy like Luke Voit, especially like what, the Yankees are in a playoff. Are they in the playoff run right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If they get in the playoffs and you get Luke, what if we calculate 30 homers between the regular season and playoffs for a guy like Luke Voit? People, we're going to lose our minds. I think I said this on the ITL baseball podcast, but Luke Voit is everything we wanted from Pete Alonso this year. And
yes,
it was the wrong New York first baseman that has become the biggest power hitter in baseball right now.
Yeah, exactly. So crazy, nice stretch for him. So
what about you? Is there somebody that is like blowing the top off of you for the season?
No, not really. I think that, I don't know. Like, yeah, sure. I'm impressed by Voit, with his 20 homers, 'cause that could have been 50, but also like if we were playing a full season, would he stay healthy enough to play that, you know, to play enough games to do that? I don't know. Listen. So,
you got Stanton, Judge, and Voit, and the only one that's been standing the whole year is Voit.
Yeah, well, yeah. Is that a surprise, though? I mean,
no, it's not a surprise. But like, if the thing you're holding against,
if Voit gets hurt right before the postseason, you know what I mean? No one's going to be surprised. Not a single person.
I don't think people will hold it against him, though, because, you know, theoretically, he held through on a season. I think he has been, and this isn't, you know, this isn't breaking ground, but I think he's been the most impressive. I think he's been the most impressive of the performances from this year, whether
more impressive than Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, I think it's been, well, Tatis Jr. has been in a huge slump. The only one that rivals Voit, but this guy was already really good, is Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber looks insane. You know, he just picked up his 8th win of the season.
Well, I think we always knew this was in Luke Voit's bat, didn't we? It's just the guy can never stay on the field, right?
Yeah, but also like making enough contact, I guess, was always my question.
That's true.
Voit was one of those guys that it was like Voit, Greg Bird, Miguel Andujar. Like Voit, there was a time where, if you know, as a Diamondback fan, he was almost like the Kevin Cron of our team.
Overvalued, like, yanked, right?
Yeah, where it's like Andujar would be the Christian Walker. He's kind of the best combination. Greg Bird has huge power, as much as Voight, but he's awful. And then, you know, Voight's got some big power, but I just don't know if he's good enough to continue making contact. And he is this season, and he's become the most dynamic hitter in baseball. It's the best performance from this season over Tatis Jr., over anybody else, and it's something we're going to have to process going into next year. All right, we're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Thursday night game. We've got some gambling. We got some DFS. We got all this stuff, so don't go anywhere in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Welcome back in. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. And you listening with your earbuds, most likely on your phone, to the podcast. Do you headphones?
Yeah, I do headphones.
What's your headphone of preference? Do you like over the ear? Do you like in the ear? Do you like it strapped around the ear?
Well, actually, I do Bluetooth. I do but my cats have done this a couple times. They just hide my Bluetooth thing. They think it's their toy. So
my favorite thing about, I think, you is it's top five is the Bluetooth, because I like all business Bogman. like this is a new thing we need. I need Bogman sitting behind a desk with his feet up. It's like Wall Street looking, and he's holding the Bluetooth like this, screaming at somebody. Because all business Bogman, with that, whenever that Bluetooth is in, I'm like, oh, it's go time. Bogman's ready.
That sounds like me. I scream at a lot of people. You know, I'm always thinking about business.
Buy, sell.
Yeah, I have very professional haircut. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, people think of me, I'm all constantly wearing professional clothes. Like, people just think of, you know, Wall Street when they look at me. That's what they think, because I have a Bluetooth in. I don't look like a homeless person found a Bluetooth thing at all when I wear it. So that's good.
I just love your Bluetooth. It makes me happy. So. I was just curious at your headphone of preference. That's all I was curious about.
Yeah, I mean, I know I need new headphones. These ones are, I think they're older than some of our listeners. So I think I've had these headphones since 1999. They're really? Very, very old. Yeah. So I got them for a Christmas one year when I also got a, stereo. So that was a long, long time ago, dude. So these are very, very old, so I definitely need some new ones.
Probably the last time the Bengals were relevant, back in the early 90s. Well,
they're not that old.
Oh, so. Back in the early 90s.
You know, the last time the Bengals won a playoff game, the Houston Oilers also won a playoff game.
Was that back, it was early 90s? I mean, I have a vivid memory.
It wasn't early 90s, the Welsh, it was 1990.
That was the Niners. Okay, yeah, because in 89, well, it was 88 into the 89 season, the 49ers beat the Bengals. That's a famous, you know, NFL films where Montana's like, there's John Candy. And then the next year, the 49ers beat the Broncos in one of the biggest lopsided Super Bowl wins in history. And then they just, you know, been losing ever since. 61 pass attempts your boy Joe Burrow had in the Cleveland Browns loss, now 0-2.
It's exactly what you want, right? That's exactly what you want from your rookie quarterback in his second ever start and first primetime start. You want him to throw 61 passes. Did you hear at the end of the game, Joe Buck was going over Troy Aikman's most passes in a game ever? Take a crack at how many that was.
Oh, I mean, in the 90s ball, I would bet.
He had a lot, but it wasn't 60.
No, I'm going to say like 42.
No, it was 57. But, oh, okay. But I mean, he also is in the Hall of Fame. And had 4 Super Bowl rings and a long career, you know. And Joe Burrow, like, in his first
first 16 games of Troy Aikman's career, how many was the highest pass attempt in a game? it's wild. Though I will say, like, watching Burrow, I see some of the stuff that you love, but I think it also, some of it proved, well, I don't want to say, I shouldn't say it proves anything, because the guy had 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. It was a great fan.
No picks.
And no picks. you could see some of the accuracy, except the accuracy wasn't really existent here because he was 37 to 61. But man, Burrow made a couple throws where you're like, oh, this is where this is going to go. There was one that sticks out in my head. It was a nonchalant play. It was just a little, you know, sweep around the inside, and Burrow threw it over. It was like a 10-yard pass to the sideline, and Burrow threw it over right over a defender in front of the defender in back, and he just got it in this tiny little hole. And it was one of those passes where I was like,
dude, were you watching me during Thursday Night Football when that happened? Because I was like, whoa. I said, that was probably a dumb pass, but there's not many guys that are going to be able to make that.
No, so. it's what also, like, that type of pass works so well in the red zone. Like, he's going to be one of those guys. You saw the pass he had in week one to AJ Green, where AJ Green was just pushing off. But like, Burrow's already making these pinpoint passes. He's going to be special in the long term. But, you know, you see 37 to 61. For me, it's kind of one of those things, like,
well,
this
AJ Green dropped half of those.
No, I understand that. But this is also why, like, I didn't want Burrow to be a QB1, even in a 16 team league for me. I don't want to start Joe Burrow in fantasy because there's kinks to get out. But if the Bengals are going to let him throw 60 times and he is a relatively, he didn't make enough mistakes. Like, in two games, he's already showing he's not making the mistakes of a typical rookie. This guy is going to be something special. It just is going to take a little bit longer. I'm kind of intrigued. You know, if I were talking to fantasy owners and you played in a super flex, it's a little bit tougher, but like, I'm into Joe Burrow in the second half of this year. And I've got Burrow. I drafted Burrow on two teams this year, and we had like 15 teams. I've got him on two. And both of those teams, I might have drafted Burrow first. They were like late quarterback teams. So I would take Burrow and then another guy really close. So I think I've got one where it's like Burrow and Newton. And then another one I've got Burrow and, I don't know, maybe Roethlisberger or something like that. And the second half of the year, just seeing what he did, you know, everyone was talking about the air yards with AJ Green, over 200, the weapons they have. They need to get, you know, they need to be team get right. Right now, and Burrow is the guy to do that. The team did not look good as a whole. Tyler Boyd seems to be the main guy because Green can't get it going. Mixon looked very pedestrian, but Joe Burrow looked pretty good for the Bengals, even though they're 0-2, Boggs.
Yeah, you know, and I thought it was funny. After week one, the new offensive rookie of the year odds came out, and Burrow dipped below Clyde Edwards-Helaire because Clyde Edwards-Helaire had the most rushing yards week one of anyone. And, you know, look spectacular on that Thursday Night Football game. And then you see Burrow throw 61 passes. Now, it's going to be tough to win Rookie of the Year if your team isn't winning games. But the defense is terrible. And they had issues inside on the defensive line this week, the Bengals did. And, you know, we saw, I mean, any more worries about Nick Chubb at all, right? Anyone that was worrying last week, I think they can throw those away now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Chubb looked amazing.
He looked great. I mean, and also it's what you wanted out of a Browns team. You wanted
that's the blueprint.
To see how Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb can be so successful together and in a game they did it. But at the end of the day, though, you see the other thing that as a whole you need to be cognizant of with the Browns, and you need to figure out, is it always going to be a mixture or is it going to be one way? Is that look at how great Chubb and Hunt were, and then look at the rest of the offense where Austin Hooper looks just everything you talked about, pedestrian in this offense. Odell got a game together. He did score a touchdown. He had the big long for 43, but Landry was blah. Hooper was blah. Odell, he only had four catches and only targeted six times. He was okay. It was all Chubb and Hunt. So are they going to be this every single week? I think it's a blueprint for them to have Chubb and Hunt.
They're not going to be like this every week.
But see, that's the problem then, is one of them has to suffer for either A, the wide receivers to be relevant, or for the other one to be dominant. And so far, Kareem Hunt has been the guy for two straight weeks, even though Nick Chubb had a monster game in week two. Yeah. Kareem Hunt has consistently been the option the only consistent option I think you could count on in the Browns offense through 2 weeks. Not saying you can't count on Chubb, but you get what I'm saying from where you drafted the standpoint, and Hunt has done it for 2 weeks.
They've also played two extreme opponents. You play a Super Bowl contender in Baltimore week one, and then you play the number one overall pick in Cincinnati week two. You know, we're going to meet somewhere in the middle here. It's not going to be as bad as it was week one. It's not going to be as good as it was week two. So I think in general, you're going to have to see Baker throw a couple more passes. And, you know, you're going to have to take a couple runs off of that, which, like you said, hurts Chubb. But on a week-to-week basis, I think they can both work. So I'm okay with both of them still, and I don't have many worries. Obviously more upside, but Hunt maybe more consistent. Maybe that's just what we're rolling with. Wide receivers are going to be wildly inconsistent.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is like, what about the wide receivers?
They're just going to be nuts, you know, the whole year. It's going to be OBJ and Hooper's going to work in. He's going to work in. So it's going to be OBJ or Landry, and then, Hooper is going to work in. But that's why I didn't want any shares of Hooper this year, and I don't have any.
I got one, but it was in like a crazy 16 team where he
probably fell to some ridiculous point to where you're like, I have to take him here. That's dumb. So let me ask you this. I get that.
There was a big push earlier in the week I saw on the interwebs of people saying this is your last opportunity to buy in on Odell. Hey, had a bad game. Just watch. It's going to get fixed. You got to go and buy some Beckham shares right now while people are worried. And everyone's like, yeah, high five, internet high five. And then it was fine. He only caught four balls. The touchdown was a saver. The 43-yard, it was okay. It was serviceable.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the people that say buy in on Odell now are right? Or after two games, do you see a bigger concern to say, you know what? I'm out on Odell, and I'm the one that's selling to the buyers right now.
I'm buying on Odell right now. I would not be selling him. So I don't have many shares of Odell, but I do have a couple. I think I have two or three, maybe. I mean, I have almost 20 teams at this point, but I think I have two or three shares of him. I'm not letting him go. Because look, they're not going to play Cincinnati every week. They're going to have to pass the ball more. He's going to get more targets. And he's not going to have that hissy fit crybaby game that he had week one the whole year either. I think, he kind of, it's almost thankful he got that out of his system and has to be more professional for the rest of this season now. And who knows? I mean, wide receivers are divas. We all know that. And he could throw another hissy fit and no one would be shocked by that by any stretch of the imagination. But winning cures a lot of stuff. I mean, did you see at the end of the game, Landry, Mayfield was sitting between OBJ and Landry on the sideline and they're all cutting it up like, they were going to summer camp or something. Like they were all smiles. So, winning is the cure all. And yeah. I think the Browns will win enough games to where OBJ isn't crying. So
Landry was a little massaging that leg was down at the knee there, Landry. Based on some stuff I've seen in the past, when I saw the legs of Mayfield being massaged, I was like, that Odell?
Oh, were you doing the Donovan McNabb? Something wrong with that, brother?
I'm like, those hands are pretty high. Massage is that? Oh, that's not Odell. That's Jarvis. Okay, that's Jarvis. Let's just be an LSU thing. Let's just be a LSU thing to Baker. I don't know what's happening here, but I don't know. I'm not interested. I'm actually not interested whatsoever because I think with Odell, when I say trade off of him, you're not trading him for nothing. It's not like you have to trade Odell to get T. Higgins. You can get a pretty decent receiver. And I think if you started going down the list, let me see, Fantasy Pros, wide receiver rankings.
So Galladay's already been banged up. Will you want OBJ or Galladay?
Galladay. If I can get Galladay for OBJ, I do it in a heartbeat. So let me pull up a few to ask you. Yeah, because we've only got like a minute here. Let me get the PPR. Yeah. You have Odell. And you can get these names are kind of rough. Odell or Keenan Allen?
Odell.
Okay. Odell or Marquise Brown?
Odell.
I'm taking both of those guys over Odell right now. Odell or DK Metcalf?
DK. Okay. That one's tough. I like both those guys a lot. I'm going to go OBJ. I think Browns are going to be down in more games.
Odell or Mike Evans?
Mike Evans.
Let me get you one more. Odell or DJ Chark?
Odell.
I don't want Odell. I don't think. If I can get any of those guys, I think I just move on because there's inconsistency that's going to be in his peripheral. And that's part of my problem. But, the buy low may be more enticing than what you can sell for. So don't go anywhere in this league. We're coming back. Quick segment. And then hour two, we've got the bets. We've got the DFS. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Welcome back, ITL short segment, ending out hour one and hour two. We got the big dogs. We're going to be looking at all the bets to see all the money that Bogman was winning as long as it was against the spread. We'll take a look at that. You know, we told you about last year. We'll look at the DFS lineup.
We told you about it.
Yeah. Oh, I've got an update from the overseers on a DFS committee about our DFS bet. I've got an update from the overseers. Yeah, I got to let you know about some breaking news from the overseers. That'll be very important.
Okay.
And, what is the game? Just give a preview. What's the game you're most not looking forward to talking about in hour two? As far as a bet goes, when you look at the line, you're just like, nope, no thanks.
The hardest to pick? Probably Rams and Philly seems like a pretty tough one. I don't like that one that much.
If the 49ers lose this week,
they're not going to, so stop with that.
I wanted
it's not in the realm of possible outcomes. It's not going to
happen. I wanted to make a bet. Someone in one of our GroupMe rooms said, like, oh, sneaky bet the Jets are this week, the Niners this. And I wanted to be like, whatever amount of money you want to bet, I will do it. Especially if you think the Jets are sneaky, then you don't need to give me the seven. You just straight up.
Well, dude, don't do that, because that's why I don't bet on the Steelers anymore. Because as soon as they look like they are the easiest win ever, you know, a couple of years ago, they played and lost to the Terrell Pryor led at quarterback Oakland Raiders. And, you know, like you talk about lock of the century of the week and all that stuff. This is coming off a nice playoff run for the Steelers and all that great stuff. And they couldn't beat the Terrell Pryor at quarterback led Raiders. And they also lost to the Raiders with Mike Glennon. They're not good against the Raiders.
If the 49ers lose to the Jets, I'm looking for a new team. I'm also going to get into soccer because I won't be invested in football anymore.
Whatever.
I'm going to look for a new
team. Shut up.
I will not like, here are the teams that are not available. I will not like a Seahawk. I will not like a Cardinal. I will not like a Cowboy. Those are off the table, but I'm open to other teams if they were to lose to this Jets team. I won't be able to
handle
it.
Steelers?
I'm open to it. You know?
All right.
I mean, I don't really want, you know, it probably wouldn't work. I don't think it would work out, Bogman. I think it's, you know, it's a little bit mean. All right, promise. We got to go to break. When we come back, all the football, hour two coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.